This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Amen. You know, as this young girl, she's a teenager, came up and said that, there are many people here this morning that feel that. Just what she said, she's a young girl, so she can come and she can just speak it out. Many adults wouldn't speak that out. But the same thing that she's saying, many people feel that. What if I'm not good enough for all of this that you're saying? What if all the things that I've done that are bad, that are crippling me, what about all of that? What if I just feel not good enough to be a Christian? And you know, today we're talking about the last few weeks about fear. And I'm here to tell you that we must be set free from fear. And fear is not, and anything in freedom, it's not changing something. Or it's not just trying, I'm going to try. Or, you know, like a kid that's afraid of the dark, we're going to push that kid out in the dark and make him just man up and just take it. And then in the morning, he's going to feel better. That's not about freedom. Freedom is always about allowing a presence to come in, and that presence of God to come in, that everything else falls down. Allowing God to rise up where everything else falls down. Trying is just going to be just like everything else we've tried in our life. Oh, I'm going to try hard, but it's going to come back. It's going to come back, and that's not what freedom is. That's not what being set free is. The enemy's even coming into this room today saying, you've been this for a couple of months. You've been sober for a year. You've been this for this. But get ready, it's going to just last for a little while. Hey, he's real. The enemy's real here today. He's real. He's wanting to pull you off track. He's wanting to press forward and allow you to fall down, where then the purpose and plan that God has placed in your life is going to fall also with it. I believe that God is here today to set people free. Amen? You don't get rid of negative thoughts by trying not to think of them. You overcome them by choosing the truth. And keep choosing it until the negative thoughts are drowned out, are completely replaced by the truth. If you want to experience the freedom that Christ purchased for you and the peace of mind that passes all understanding, then choose to think of only the thoughts that align with what the Word of God says about who you are and what God has done in your life. Now, before I start this message, and I know the time, I know if you are new here today, I don't even wear a watch. Inside, I have a time clock, and it's called my stomach, and it growls at 11:45. 11:50, it's angry at me. 11:55, it will take me down. So don't worry about it, all right? I've had many times in my life, I've had to start the process of hope, healing, and freedom by doing what I'm fixing to say right now. And I believe that God is going to speak these things. The greatest part of healing that came in my life, of me losing my brother, me losing my mom and sister, was what I'm doing right here. And it's renouncing the lie of the enemy. And it's things like this. I renounce the lie that my heavenly Father is distant and disinterested in me. I announce the truth that my heavenly Father is intimate and involved in me. I denounce the lie that the enemy has come and he's tried to come to me and he's tried to fool. I denounce that lie. And today I speak the truth and what the truth says, that that lie is no longer in my life. Come on. Are my kids in here today? A few of them. Okay. Oh. There was some things in my life about my brother's death that the enemy came and he lied to me. He lied to me in over 100 different situations. There was a lie over his death. And I had to go into the first few of them, and when healing started in my life, it was these very same words. I renounce the lie of the enemy. That is not the truth. And how that happened to me is that I was just led by Jesus. And Jesus spoke to me, and he says, do you believe that? What does my word say about that? And when I'm stopped to right there, well, your word says this. That he received you as his Savior. That he believed in his heart. Come on. and that he is living eternity with you. And then Jesus spoke to me, do you believe that? Do you believe what my word says? All I'm speaking to today with freedom of fear, freedom of shame, and these things, will you believe what his word says about you? Because that's where the freedom is. Do you believe, Darren, that my word says this and that your brother did this? I knew my brother received Christ. I knew my brother had him in his heart. But the enemy wanted to come tell me that he's in hell. Come on. Let me tell you, there is no healing in any situation when you think that someone's in hell. It's a tormenting feeling, a tormenting thought. Do you believe my word? And then I said yes to him, and he said, right now, I want you to renounce the lie of the enemy. Jesus doesn't mess with this. Come on. He does not mess with the lies that we receive, because we are his sons and we are his daughters. And those lies are straight from the pit of hell, and they will torment us, and they will damage us, and they will cripple us. And we will stand in it, and we will believe the things that are not true about us, and the enemy can come to us at any time and push us, and we just crumble in those lies. The enemy is king of lies. He's the schemer of all lies. And they do not line up with what Jesus says about us and what he did for us. And we stand up, and he said, I want you to renounce those lies. I want you to tell him right now. And I stood up, and with the authority that he's given me, I said, enemy, you have lied to me. I renounce that. I believe the truth of what the word says of this, and I will not stand in this lie anymore. I'm here to tell you, when I did that, there was about 10 lies that just were free with me standing up. Do you know that my brother lived a life of alcoholism? Some of you don't know him. He's an older brother. I loved him with all of my heart. He always made me do things. And since he was my older brother, I always followed. Everywhere he did, I wanted to be with him. I wanted to do things with him. So I had to do stuff like the first shotgun I ever shot, instead of shooting it correctly, he told me that the really cool way is to put the end of it right here on your neck and reach out and just blow it away. I was about 12 years old, and I thought I broke my neck. And, you know, I would look up and tell him, I'm telling Mom, and he'd look at me like, if you tell Mom, you're going to die. I mean, it was not like you're not running to tell Mom, because there's more of that I have stored up for you. Something, though, that my brother always looked up to him. I feel that God puts us in order for a reason. I feel like that he was my older brother, and I needed an older brother in my life. We need to pray for our oldest child. Amen? We need to pray for all of them, but the enemy wants our oldest child. He believes that if he can get the first child out of the womb, that all the other children will follow. And he is after that first child. He is going to try to take, try to kill, try to destroy that first child. And we're believing that that child's going to rise up and that their children are going to follow that child. Amen? But you know, there was something because of alcohol. My father was a pastor. My brother's name was my same name of my father, Gene Frank. And that was really difficult on my brother, because my dad had so much authority in the word. So he had so much integrity. He had so many people that looked up to him. When he walked in the city, people knew him and they loved him, and he was all about that. And my brother had chains that were around him of alcoholism that the enemy kept trying to say, look at you. You'll never live up to that name. You know, all kinds of things. The enemy's real. And, you know, I say all of that because my brother lived a life. Hello. My brother lived a life with his head down. He would very rarely look you eye to eye. He would come to church almost every Sunday, but he didn't want to say anything. He didn't want anybody to talk to him. And he'd sit in the middle section with his head down, feeling exactly what this young girl came up and spoke to me. Feeling that he was not worthy to come into a place where God is, because of the things that were in his life, the things that he did last night, the things that he did this week. Even though he was chained to those things, I saw him try and try and try and try to get free. If there was one person that could have tried enough to get free from alcoholism, it would have been my brother. The trying would have set him free. But it's not about trying. Come on, it's not about trying. And you know, recently I was dropping off some kids in the Wallace area, and there's a young lady, junior in high school, I think, and she goes, "Well, you know, just stop right here. You can just stop and drop me off in the corner. I can walk the rest of the way. I want to get better in shape." And, you know, I've worked with kids a long time that I know that she didn't want me to pull up that van in front of her home because there were other kids in there and she was ashamed of her home. You know, I'm not here to go build her another home. I'm here to say that crippling shame is from the enemy. And we have to get what this shame is in our lives because he loves to use this shame to allow us to be fearful. What other people think about me. Can't even pick up my head, can't even talk because of what they're going to see in me. Do you know the window, the eyes are the window of the soul? I'm telling you right now, we're in a counseling session. I can look into your eyes and God will speak to me what's going on. So I understand why some people want to look down, you know. We need to repent where we can look up and look eye to eye to people. We don't want to be held. If we can't even look eye to eye with a brother, we definitely can't look eye to eye with God. We're going to stand alone one day in front of him. And I want to be able to raise up my head as his son and his daughter because that's who we are. I'm believing today that people are going to be set free. We're going to renounce some lies today. Are you ready to renounce some lies? Some lies that are hovering over us, that have been spoken over us. Do you know that words are out to kill? That God uses words to heal, to set free. But there's been words that have been spoken over us by our fathers. There's been words that have been spoken over us by our teachers, by our friends, by family. And those words are there, and the enemy can come at any time, and he can bring up that word to you. If that word does not align itself with what the word of God says, it's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. He's just used a person. We're not fighting against our father. We're not fighting against that person. We're fighting against principalities. Come on. Webster defines shame as a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt. The Bible speaks about some different shame. It speaks about a healthy shame. It speaks about a perverted shame. And it speaks about a crippling shame. Children who grow up in dysfunctional families, these children, you and me, come on, received a legacy of dysfunctional. The inability to function properly. These children in adult bodies, if they don't get freedom in that, they will just carry that on to another generation, to another generation, another generation of divorce, another generation of poverty, abuse, alcoholism, addiction, compulsion, these things. Let me tell you, God has called me to be a man that's going to stand and be steadfast. I will not allow the things that are weaknesses in my life, the sin in my life, to be passed down and pressed down to another generation. God is just too good. What he's done is just too good for me not to stand at the cross and to let him come and set me free where all of those things will not be passed down. Let me tell you, they will be passed down. You're foolish if you don't think that they will. Just because they see somebody do that, just because they see you do it, oh, they're going to see the negative stuff and they'll never do it. But I'm telling you, if a child is beaten by a father, there is a really good chance that that child is also going to beat his child. Unless Jesus comes in. Come on. Come on. Unhealthy tendency to keep silent, hoping it would go away. But God's other plans. Let's look quickly at Isaiah chapter 61. This is one of the scriptures that Church of Living Waters is founded on. We're going to start with verse 1. Let me get there. I'm a little slow today. The The word of God says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty, proclaim that captives will be released." One of the notes that in my dad's notes, it was in 1990, there was a word that was over this ministry to hang on the wall: captives are being set free. And I haven't seen that since the 90s, so I believe God is asking us to pick up that banner and to put a banner on Church Living Water saying captives are being set free. I don't want to miss out on what the word says or what God says. See, sometimes God says something to you and he waits for you to do it. And he wants obedience. So captives will be released and prisoners will be free. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will receive them though they have been deserted for many generations. Now let's look at verse 7. Instead of shame and dishonor, come on. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. I'm telling you, there is a great promise as we raise up our heads out of shame. There is a promise that we can stand on right there that God wants every one of his children to rise up in. When we sin, we ought to feel shame. Come on. When we sin, we ought to feel shame. Our conscience is God's smoke detector. Come on, if I'm just out there and I'm just blowing and going and I don't even feel anything, there's something wrong with me. If I could just run right past you and speak all that I want to speak about you, if I could be in this church and gossip you up and down, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with all of us. But if we don't feel that smoke detector go off like, uh-oh, I've made a mistake, God wants to bring us back to a place, come on, where we can hear that. When we overstep God's ordained boundary, the smoke of shame is produced. The painful emotion sets off the ringing of our conscience. God's smoke detector is put into every person born in this world. It is a co-knowing with God. The word of God says this: for the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Pastor, you don't know. I've never even read the word of God. No, instinctively, you have in the inside of you what is right and what is wrong. You have the boundary that God has instinctively in you that when you cross it, you should feel something. You should feel like, there's a smoke detector that just went off and it's smoking and I feel that shame. There's a righteous shame that God has for us that, God, I will not do that again. See, many of us feel that we can leave Jesus at the door. My mom would tell me over and over, he's there with you everywhere he's going. And then she would continue and say this, and he's telling me everything you're doing. God placed a boundary for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There's a boundary in every one of our lives, everywhere, and it's a boundary from God. He said to them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, he said these, "Thou shalt not eat of it." He didn't say that it's going to look good, that it's going to taste good. He said, don't do it. There's times that I just speak to that, my children, I just tell them, no, don't do it. Because they need to hear a boundary and they need to learn not to press forward with it. I've said this a lot. Me and my children love to eat ice cream. My wife likes it, but she doesn't eat it. We love to eat ice cream. And you know, boy, at McDonald's, you can get ice cream for like 49 cents now. What are they doing? They're giving it away. The last three times we went to get ice cream at McDonald's, they say the ice cream machine is broken. Come on. Y'all need to raise up the ice cream and get a new ice cream machine. But there's sometimes that my kids say, Daddy, can I have ice cream? And even though I have money in my pocket and I'm hungry for ice cream, I say no. Because they need to learn how to accept no, just like they've learned how to accept yes. Because I'm telling you right now, God speaks no many times in my life. I actually hear no more than I hear yes. And if I'm not able to deal with the no's that are in my life, I won't be able to deal with the yes. If you've just been speaking a lot of yeses, you need to rise up and say no. Come on. There needs to be some no's, especially to our children. Amen. There was a referring to the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They broke that boundary. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, and they experienced, what did they experience? They experienced shame. As they ate of that tree, shame came into their lives. They experienced it. Verse 7 says this, that they sewed aprons of fig leaves. Even though they sewed aprons of fig leaves, it did not cover their shame. The Word of God's very clear about sin. And in the very first sin that happened, the first thing that happens when we sin, we try to cover it up. Come on. Just like Adam and Eve did. Let's cover it up with fig leaves. And then the next step of sin is let's try to hide. God Almighty comes into the garden and he says, Adam, I praise God that he came back into the garden. Because he told them that if he eats of the tree that they will surely die. He could have just zapped them and created a new man. Let me tell you, if that's the God that we serve, all of us would have been zapped. So God comes into the garden, and where's Adam and Eve? They're hiding from an almighty God. So the second thing in sin, what do we try to do? We try to hide it. But let me tell you, sin will not be able to be hidden, especially if you're a man of God. The first thing that I'm going to do, guess what? You're going to know about it because it's going to be on the front page of the paper. Because of how the enemy wants to get me. Boy, if the enemy could have me fall, everything that I've ever said, everything that I've ever done, even into my own children's life, it's going to then be a question that he can push and bring shame. Oh, but remember when he fell. I'm not saying that Jesus is not here to pick us up when we fall, but God doesn't not want us to fall. He wants us to rise up. He said that any temptation that comes our way, that he's already dealt with it, and there'll be strength to overcome it. So I'm leaning on that strength. Oh, let me lean on the strength that he's given me to overcome it. And there's a great thing in my life that Jesus is still telling my mom about it. And that it will be on the front page of the paper the next day. That's called accountability. See, if we live a life and we live it just free, and that consciousness of sin doesn't go off in our life, that smoke detector, God wants to place us in the middle of a body that we cannot live life like that. Because all sin does, it hinders. All sin does, it's the wages of sin, it's death. It will eventually kill. If it doesn't take your life, which it eventually will, it will take time, it will take everything around you. See, sin hurts other people. Come on, church. Believing today, people are going to be set free. Shame becomes the spiritual state of being for those who do not have God's covering for their sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is his covering. See, if we don't have the revelation of what Jesus did on the cross, see, we know what he did. He died and we hear he took our sins. But if we don't have the revelation that he covered me with his blood, come on. See, when I sin, God looks down and God cannot stand sin. And without the sacrifice of Jesus, if I would sin, God would look down and he would zap me. It's done all in the Old Testament. Come on. But because he sent his son, because he knew that we lived a life that we could not confrain, because Adam and Eve surely did die that day that they ate of the apple. Their spirit died on the inside of them, and it was brought back to life by receiving Jesus in their heart. Now, I'm preaching better than you're amening. And I know I'm going deeper than most of you are ready, maybe. But God has said by the first of the year, we need to be free of shame, free of fear, because God's purpose and plan is not only going to come on this ministry, it's going to come on your life. I want to show you something. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Word of God says this: after Adam and Eve tried to cover up their sin with fig leaves, they hid in the garden from God. And then the third thing that sin always tries to make us do, Adam looked at God and said, "It's that woman that you gave me." Well, some of you men are sitting quiet right now. I saw some of you just go just like that. And even Eve just tried to say, no, it's the enemy that came towards me. See, the third thing of sin, we want to blame other people. And I'm telling you, even if it's 5% your fault, it's best to stand in front of a God and say, "It was my fault." And let Him deal with the other 95%. It's the easiest thing in the world to say, "Well, because of Susan did this, I did this, and that's the reason why I did it. If Susan wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have done it." You're going to stand in front of God and Susan's not going to be there one day. Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, 21. "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins of Adam for Adam and his wife." The Word of God says this. It's a foreshadow of what's going to happen. That the fig leaves were not pleasant in the sight of God. That He knew that sin had happened, and the hiding and the blaming was standing in front of a righteous God, and it was unacceptable. And right there, God knew that He was going to send His Son to die for every one of us. Right there, He clothed them with skins. Right there is a foreshadow of the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to cover every one of our sins. He says it very clearly. "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and Eve. Then the Lord God said, 'Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever.'" And He continues then to go forward with the punishments that's going to come on them with what God is doing. But I'm here to tell you that the skins that He put on them was a foreshadow that today I'm wearing a righteous coat that Jesus died on a cross and He placed on me. He exchanged my sin for His righteousness. And because of that, and because I have knowledge of that, Bob, and because I know that, when I sin, it just blows off in me because it's been too good what's been done for me. A life has been given for me. And I don't have the privilege or the authority or anything just to go out and live my life how I want to live it. See, when I received Christ in my life died that day. And His life arose that day. And my life is His life. And His plan is my plan. And His purpose is my purpose. Anything that I have that's outside of Him, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And there is something that's outside of Him is sin. Are you grabbing it today? The sense of shame is a manifestation of the mercy of God, because it opens up the person to receive God's cover for his sin. See, there are people here today that are shameful because maybe of an abortion that they had. People that are shameful because they got into a divorce. Shameful. And we can go on and name it and name it and name it and name it. And because of that root of shame, there's great fear that surrounds it. Fear that people are going to find out. Fear that I lied on this and it's going to eventually be found out. Fear, fear. And if we can go to the root of rejection and go to the root of shame, we then can go and look at Jesus and know that greater love is in us that's in the world. That we can know that in perfect love, there is no fear. See, when I stand up with God and I stand up and He knows who I am, guess what? He knows who we are no matter what. There's no secrets in front of God. He knows the intimate part of us. But if I can stand up and say, "God, You forgave me for that. God, You died on a cross from that. And I stand in front of You and I stand covered with Your love. Covered with a coat that You put on me, and that I cannot stand and I cannot take any more of the shame that the enemy has put on me. All of that is gone. It's at the cross." Let me wrap this up. No one should experience crippling or toxic shame. But adult children often experience such destructive shame. This shame does not usually have to do with sins committed. Although none would deny that adult children have sinned, this shame is a toxic shame. It is perverted, poisonous, and crippling. And it can affect us as Christians, and it will always do that, who are already covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and who should not feel the torment of this shame. Shame as a healthy human emotion can be perverted into shame as a state of being. As a state of being, shame takes over one's whole identity. This is called being shame-based. What we do is a result of how we perceive our being. To have shame as an identity is to believe that this, that one's being is flawed. It's also that one is defective as a human being. Once shame is perverted into an identity, it becomes toxic and it becomes dehumanizing. This toxic shame has the capacity to destroy, not only destroy me, but destroy my children and destroy my wife and destroy generations to come. Jesus didn't die on a cross for us to have this type of shame. See, I believe that there are times for medication to be given, but I don't believe in medication because I don't want to numb the pain that's on the inside of me. When I lost my brother, when I lost my mother and my sister, I could have went to any doctor and I could still be on medication today. I could have had all of it. But I don't want to just numb myself to one day stop that and go backwards to a place where I'm at again. See, Jesus wants the fullness of us. He wants all of us. He died real on a cross. Real blood came. He didn't take a pain pill and then go for it. Come on. And I say that because Jesus wants us to be set free. There's no reason why that we should not hold up our heads because of Jesus. Not because of me. If it's because of me, my head's hanging low. If it's because of my family, it's hanging low. But it's because of Jesus, it's risen up. And it's, I am his son. He is pleased in me. I am doing what he's called me to do, and I will succeed because he will succeed. And even if I don't, he still loves me. And if I mess up, he still picks me up. See, it's a no way out, no way to mess up with the things of God. So the enemy on the other side wants to say there's no way you can do it because of your father, because of this, because of that in your life, because of that abortion, because of those things. He always wants to rise up and say because and push a button and you fall down in shame. I believe this message must be preached. See, we talk about hope, but many people can't receive hope because they're overlaid with shame. Overlaid with what they did, what they should have done, what they could have done. All the mess ups that they've done in life. And they will never be who God's wanted them to be because he has healed you from that. He has set you free from that. And he wants you to rise up today and be who he's called you to be. I praise God that one day. Anybody remember that one day? That he came and he set you free? That he gave you eternal life? That he came into your life and you received him that one day. I'll never forget that one day. But let me tell you this. That one day is every day in my life. Because I can't just stand on a one day that happened to me 25 years ago. I have to stand on that day today. Jesus, I need you more than yesterday. Jesus, I need you more for the purpose and plans you have in my life. Jesus. Now I say all of that. I'm going to ask if a few of our elders can come and prepare. We're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper. I say all of this because Church of Living Waters is really getting ready to be mobile. And every person in this room is needed. See, God's body is unique. He no longer calls a man like Moses, and Moses sets people free. Through God. He calls a man, and the man's responsibility is to ask God to bring the body together. And you're just as important as I am Kip, you're just as important as anybody else in the facility. Because you're God's son, because you're part of the body. He doesn't say what part is better than the other. Some of us feel like because of shame, oh, I'm just the foot. I praise God for the foot. I stand on it right now. Oh, I'm just this. I praise God for that because it's needed. Just recently, we went into a rehabilitation center right here in our city. And the youth will be able to tell these testimonies better. But there's a man there that's paralyzed from his waist down. And the man's just like you and me. He can conversate just like you and me. He's in a rehabilitation center, and all he's believing for is that his wife is going to come get him. We hear all about his wife. You're going to hear all about his wife as you meet him. But to walk out and hear the nurses say he doesn't have a wife. This man does not have legs that he can use. This man's in a rehabilitation center being paid from the government, maybe for the rest of his life. I don't know. But see, God is calling me. And he's calling. And he's calling Church of Living Waters to be mobile. 2015, Church of Living Waters is starting a church in this rehabilitation center at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We're not going there to pick up an offering. We're not going there to try to build God's church. He's the one that builds the church. We're going there because this man needs a friend. We're going there because this man needs someone to speak into his life. He needs a visitor. He needs someone that cares about him. And maybe it's not going to be us, but we will allow God to use us and allow the care that comes in and through us to go out to this man. This man represents one of hundreds. Oh, I stand boldly in front of this church saying we're starting a church in a rehabilitation center. I'm not going to try to find this or going to try to find this. We're going to see every person in that rehabilitation center come to Christ. We will see many be healed and set free. When was the last time this man heard, "Sir, I believe that Jesus can heal your legs. And I'm standing for that miracle in your life. And I believe that there's going to be a day, brother, that you're going to stand up and walk. And I believe, brother, there's going to be a day that you're going to be married. And I believe, and I believe, and I believe." See, Jesus came to me and he said those words, "Darren, I believe in your life. I believe in you because I live on the inside of you." That's one of maybe 50 different ministries that God has in my heart. I'm overwhelmed, but I look out at his body. And I see facilitators, and I see directors, and I see pastors, and I see prophets, and I see these things. And God is asking us to rise up and to walk out of fear, to rise up and walk out of shame, to rise up and walk out of rejection, and be who he's created us to be, and stand up and stand with our heads lifted high, because he surrounds us. Amen. You heard Brother David speak about the prison. There's a great need of workers in our prison system. There's a great need. There's a great need. There's a great need. I'm not just going to be a pastor that's going to talk about the needs. I'm going to be a pastor that's going to rise up people to go meet those needs. Because Jesus is living on the inside of us. And if those are needs, they're Jesus' needs. Because he is the worker of the harvest. And we are just the workers. And we will go out. The 1st of January, I'm going to be aligning Church of Living Waters to all of these ministries. We're going to speak about ministries that God has just started recently, Rock of Ages, praise God. But I'm also going to be speaking about 2015. God is looking for people. He's always looked for people. He uses people to reach people. And it's not a mistake that you're here today. It's not a mistake that God's brought you back here today. God's brought you back because you're one of the ones that he's going to choose to use and use in a mighty way. It's not a mistake that you've been here for 25 years. It's not a mistake that you're hearing my words today, because God is saying, and he's saying right now, it's time. It's time. If we'd stand today. I've had two hunger pains in my stomach, sorry. One almost knocked me over. Father, we don't want to take lightly what you're doing, God. We don't take it lightly, God. Father, you might call Church of Living Waters to places that no other people will go. But we'll be obedient, Father. God, you have made this place, this church, and you have prepared the foundations for it, for the nations. Father, I'm thankful that this year, 2015, we'll be sending youth team into Costa Rica. We'll be sending a team into New Mexico. Father, we're working on sending that team into South Africa, that small ladies team. Father, the need is everywhere. And on this foundation, it's the nations of the world. But Father, we will not go to the world if we're not going to our own city. Let it start right here, Father. God has spoken to me this morning. See, it's Him. He's the one. He's the one that's going to heal you. He's the one that's going to set you free. Matthew chapter 26. So we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Here we do it a little bit differently. In a minute, every person that's a Christian, you don't have to be a member of Church of Living Waters. Even our children are going to come in. Every person that's a Christian, this table is prepared for you. It's not Church of Living Waters' table. It's God's table. And if you're connected with Jesus, rise up. Doesn't matter if you're a member or not here. This is your table. Right before Jesus knew that he was going to die, he had a last supper. He picked up the towel and he served all of his disciples. But at the end of that supper, he took some bread. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said this to them. He said, take this, take and eat it. This is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many in the remissions of sin. And you know, we don't just do this just to do it. We do it because we were commanded by God to do this. It's just not a symbol. It's as Jesus was breaking bread that day, and he was speaking not only to the disciples, but he is speaking to you, to every person here. And he was saying, I'm going to break this bread. My body's fixing to be broken, and it's going to be broken for you. It's going to be broken for me. And this body's going to break, and this that you're going to grab today, it's a piece of bread, is a symbol of my body. And as you receive that symbol of my body, let me tell you something. You will never be the same. You will never be the same. Then he took, we have juice here today, and he says, this represents my blood. Do you know that his blood is sufficient for you? Right where you are? His blood's sufficient for the man that's paralyzed. His blood's sufficient for wherever you are. His blood's sufficient. And today, as you receive this juice that represents his blood, healing's going to come in today. I'm telling you, you cannot fill yourself up with his blood and not be healed. So I believe today as we come, God asked me to break bread today as a body. We're going to be doing this the first of the year for the whole month of January, because God is calling for covenant relationship. And how we gain covenant relationship is we break bread together. And we just don't break bread at one of the restaurants. We break bread in front of God. We have covenant in front of him. He has covenant with us. You just bow your head today. Close your eyes just before we receive this. Just in front of God and just in front of me. And it's with me, it's just prayer. If you understand crippling shame and you have a hard time just raising up your head, and there's difficult times that you can stand, but the enemy can just push a button and you just rail down in fear. In front of God, I just want you to lift your hand today, because he's coming in today to set you free. There's hands all over the building, and that doesn't make it better. I mean, it's because this is happening all over the body of Christ. And the enemy is coming, and he's taking and he's dividing because of shame, crippling shame. And in this body, Church of Living Waters, we will be set free of fear. We will be set free of shame. We will have our heads raised up in humility, and we will do what God's called us to do. As you receive this today, I believe that there's healing today. How we do this, we just make two lines. We receive the bread, we receive the juice, and we just make a huge circle here. So if you come in your families, we just want your families to come together. If you're single here by yourself, there's going to be another family that's going to say, come with us. Just want you just to start coming out of your chairs. If you do not take this, we don't want you to be the only one sitting. So if you want to be released, you can. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.